right. Well, hallelujah. We are here to begin again, part 5 of Psalm 23. And so if you have your scriptures in front of you, let's stand and read the psalm again together. Just read it in your own version. Don't worry about what it is and read it aloud. I'm going to start putting it up on the screen, I think. Would that be helpful, church? I'm going to do that next week. But meanwhile, Psalm 23, it begins in verse 1, and read it aloud with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. And so this is part 5, which is really the second half of verse 4. Remember, last week we just did the first part of verse 4. So part 5 is the second part of verse 4. And just to review what we've talked about before, that with verse 1 is the foundation of all of this. The Lord is my shepherd. And if we understand the way that that is, we understand that everything falls from understanding that the Lord is our shepherd and that we submit to him as manager of our lives. Well, today's verse, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the first part of verse 4 said that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so we have to understand it in context. It's that because we are going to walk through valley experiences, because we're going to have situations that are dark, that we need to know where our comfort comes from, and our comfort comes from the Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Awesome. The picture is there. So if you look behind me, in this picture over here that talks about the Good Shepherd, I love this picture because it has the cross there. The rod is that twirly thing that's coming up on the right-hand side. The rod is a weapon of offense and defense for the shepherd. So remember, as we talked about that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we talked about how in the natural, these valley places normally might have sheer cliffs, and that the predators are going to come, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to know that we have a rod of protection, a rod of offense and defense when we're going through these valley experiences. The Good Shepherd, the Shepherd, the Lord is our Shepherd. He's there to protect and to guide us. Now, in the book that we've shared this summer, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, Keller writes this. The rod was, in fact, an extension of the owner's right arm. Remember last week we talked about your right hand holds me fast. Remember the analogy of not having a seatbelt and your parent was the person that extended the right arm to hold you fast. Well, the Lord's arm, the right arm, it says the rod was in fact an extension of the owner's right arm. It stood as a symbol of his strength, his power, his authority. In any serious situation, the rod was what he relied on to safeguard both himself and the flock in times of danger. And it was furthermore the instrument he used to discipline and correct any wayward sheep that insisted on wandering away. And so if the shepherd has this tool, this very specific tool that's been fashioned, what do we have? So in the natural, we know that the shepherd with the flock has the rod and the staff. Well, we have the rod, and the rod is the word of God. There's a few dimensions of God's word as being the rod that we have for the good shepherd. The first one comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. Which is a foundational scripture. If you know anything about the Bible, there's a lot of things that people will say about the Bible. Maybe it's a myth. Maybe it's created by man. Maybe it's an instrument to control us. But ultimately, if you believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, God-inspired, the authoritative rule for life and conduct, then that helps how you perceive what this is. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed It comes from the very Holy Spirit of God. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the first thing that we need to know is God's word, the rod, is God's authority. Can I hear an amen? Right? I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in knowing that God is in control. Amen. We are in times, crazy times right now in the United States. We are in political craziness. It's like a three-ring circus, and I keep waiting for the third ring that might bring some kind of normalcy into everything. But we need to understand that even when it seems like all things are going nuts, that God is in control, that we have the sovereignty of God to hold on about. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." And so that authority that we have, the authority that we receive, comes from the word of God. The more that you know God's word, the more that it is within you, the more authority you will take over situations, that you'll speak into situations with the authority that is given to us as Christians. All right, what else is the rod used for? Discipline. Everybody likes discipline, right? Can I give a woo-woo for discipline? Everybody likes the Lord's discipline. Maybe not. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. "My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." Right? If God did not love you, he would not discipline you. We need to welcome the discipline of the Lord. The word is there in our lives to bring conviction, and that conviction is part of the Lord's discipline. Now, in the natural, when the shepherd has that rod like there, if there's a sheep that's going off and, you know, going into the brush or going into a place it's not supposed to, the shepherd will actually throw that thing. They become like marksmen with the rod. Now, they don't throw it at the sheep, but they might throw it in the area right before the sheep. And it'll scare the sheep into going where they're not supposed to go. So the discipline of the Lord is to keep us from continuing in our own path, into going places of danger, into self-destruction, right? That's the discipline of the Lord that we need to welcome into our lives. Without it, we are like sheep who have gone astray, each to our own way, right? So that rod comes in as discipline, as correction, as conviction. As long as we are listening to the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I want to give some examples of how the word brings conviction over the course of time and throughout Scripture, right? The authority of God. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6 says this. Now, remember, Jonah has been called to bring a word of correction, repentance to the people at Nineveh, and he doesn't want to do it. And then we have the whole story where he gets swallowed by a fish, and he's in the belly for 3 days, and then he's spit out on the soil, and he finally goes, "Ugh, I'll go." And he doesn't want to go, but when he finally brings the authority, the word of God, it says this, "When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust." The word of God in that situation brought repentance for this king, and that a whole community, a whole city repented. How about Luke 5, verse 8? This is when Peter first meets Jesus, and there's that miraculous catch of fish. So he's encountered not only the word of God, but the word of God made flesh, right? We understand that Jesus is the word of God incarnate, made flesh, walking amongst us. And Peter, when he's first confronted with the word, it says this, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" That confrontation with the word of God, the word made flesh, brought conviction into Peter's soul. He realized that he was a sinful man and didn't even feel worthy to be in the presence of the Lord. How about Acts chapter 2, verse 37? This is after Jesus' resurrection. Peter gets up. He's denied the Lord three times. He's been reinstated three times, that Jesus loves him. And then he stands up in boldness and begins to preach. And what happens? So now we hear the word preached, taught, exposed. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So here the word of God brings not only conviction, but a turning around where they seek to do the right thing. They repent and they want to be made right. They want to follow after him now. "Brothers, what can we do?" Right? And then we also read that 3,000 were saved that day. That's power and authority in the word of God. Third reason that we use the rod is to examine and count the sheep. In other scriptures, you'll find that it says, "I pass under the rod of the Lord." And that just meant when they were counting the sheep and they were coming into the sheepfold, they'd extend the rod to count them. And if there was any question, he would take the rod and lean over and maybe part the sheep, the wool on the sheep, to see if there's anything truly wrong. Do you know, with all of that wool, there's a lot of stuff that can cover up the true sinfulness, the true weakness that we have. And the true shepherd is going to take the time to look into each and every one of us to find out those areas that need to be corrected, that need to be healed, that need to be fixed. We used to raise llamas for 20 years, and it was the same thing. They're very woolly creatures. And the only way you could truly see if a llama was healthy or not is to run your hand down the back of the spine of the llama, and you could feel whether they were too fat or if they were too skinny. You could feel if there was any problems with the skin underneath, if they were too dry. There's a lot that you can tell from exploring underneath the wool, and it's the same thing when the shepherd comes with that rod and parts the wool to see exactly what's going on. So they examine and count the sheep. Psalm 139 says this, and this is verses 23 to 24. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is something that needs to be our heart's cry all the time. I think too often we want to keep all the things that we're going through and our situations in the dark. "God, I don't want to reveal these things. I don't want to deal with all this stuff. It's too painful." And the Lord says, "I want to bring all of this stuff into the light so that it can be healed, it can be made whole. I need to discover those things that are hidden under all those big woolly pretenses so that we can be brought to the light and be made whole." In the Bible study that we're doing at Wellville right now, I'm teaching about sticky faith and difficult questions. And oftentimes, the second title of it is Biblical Answers to Life's Tough Questions. Why? Because I believe in the authority of the Word of God. And if I'm going to try to find the right answer to something, I am going to try to find it in the Bible first and foremost. Because, you know, oftentimes when we talk about the questions that are brought up, most often people will respond with this, "Well, I feel that." And that's how it comes out, right? Because we as humans, we feel things. We feel an answer, and it'll come out in how we feel, because there's some sense in us that you know, either we care for people, we seek justice. There's a lot of things that we come and we feel, but it's not a biblical answer. It's based on how we feel, right? The heart is deceitful above all things, we're told in Scripture. So we have to be careful that our feelings don't begin to tell us what to think, right? So if we to understand that God is seeking us and to know our hearts and test me, know my thoughts, we want to be able to align ourselves with God. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." There's something really powerful, the rod of God, the word of God, that can just test all of our thoughts to divide those things within us that are good and not good, good and evil, and to purge those things that are evil in our lives, to search us and know us, God. Judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart if we run it through the filter of God's word. And number four, the rod is an instrument of protection. We read in the Psalms that David was able to actually kill a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were walking around and I was going to confront a lion and a bear, I would want to have more than a stick. Anybody in agreement with me? Right? When we went out to Montana, Tom and Woody were hunting for elk out there with just bows and arrows. Now, Woody, of course, had a sidearm at the same time, but didn't he see a grizzly? How scary is that, to be in the midst of the woods and have a grizzly right within your circumference? Would you just want to have a stick? No. But David killed a lion and a bear. So that weapon used for the shepherd was intense. It was nasty. They were practiced at using it intently to protect the sheep. So how do we then use the word of God for our protection? Well, we speak that word with authority over our situations and against the attacks of our enemy. Again, it's so important to know your word, to know the word of God. If Jesus, in the midst of temptation in the desert, fought Satan with the word of God, how much more do we need to know our word to be able to come against the attacks of our enemy? And often they come right up here. Do you ever hear the lies of the enemy coming into your mind and telling you you're not worthy, telling you you're making mistakes, bringing up all of the mistakes of your past? And so you need to know the word of God to rebuke that, to be able to stand in authority, to speak it with authority. In this way, we claim the promises of God, right? And this promise, especially, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Why? Because of the word of God. You need to know your word. Know it. Eat it, meditate on it, memorize it, and have it be part of you. So in this book, Keller also says this: there is no substitute for the scriptures in coping with the complexities of our social order. Now again, I want to remind you that this book was written 40 years ago. All right, so some of the things that he's talking about, we are experiencing again now. Some things just never change, right? And in society and in culture, there's always these conflicts that go on. But he goes on to say, we live in an ever more involved and difficult milieu. We are part of a world of men and women whose code of conduct is contrary to all that Christ has advocated. Now, wouldn't you say that that's something that we're experiencing today, that there's so much that it goes against everything that Christ taught about loving one's neighbor? To live with such people is to be ever exposed to enormous temptations of all sorts. Some people are very subtle, very smooth, very sophisticated, yes? Others are capable of outright violent, vituperative attacks against the children of God. In every situation and under every circumstance, there is comfort in the knowledge that God's word can meet and master the difficulty if we rely on it. We have to have that as our weapon. Right? Offense and defense, to know the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 says this: the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. We have weapons that are not physical. They're not carnal. They're not of this world. It is the word of God. It is the Holy Spirit. So that brings me to the next thing. We have your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Now, I've been dying to bring this and use this for the longest time. Here's a staff, okay? I've had this. This is forever old. This was my grandfather's. And this is not a sheep staff, though, I have to tell you. It's not quite as cute as the ones that they use over there with a little, well, it is kind of looking like that. This is actually a cow cane. Multi-animal, because we've used it for the llamas, too. We've had this for a long time. But this is what we use to direct the animals and take care of the animals, all right? So the staff that we have, while the rod is the authority, the power, the discipline of the word of God or of God, the staff speaks of his guidance, his long suffering, his grace. All right? And the staff is really the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that we have is a story that Keller shares in the book, how the shepherd uses this to draw the young lambs and place it near its mother. So you have to imagine that you have, 100, 200 sheep, and they might all be lambing at the same time, which they probably are. And in that confusion, the shepherd makes sure that he draws very gently the young lamb and makes sure it's right near its ewe, right near its mother, and so that they connect all the time. He doesn't want to, have the ewe reject it by touching it. And so he has this lovely tool that gently, ever gently, picks up the baby and brings it near its mother. And I love that analogy because it reminds me that God draws us close in just that same way. So gently picking up us as children of God, we are drawn ever closer to God. John 6:44 says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." And so our Heavenly Father is always drawing us closer and bringing us into intimate relationship with himself. God seeks to be near to those he loves. Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And I love the image of just being drawn ever closer. Think about it. If this is our shepherd, our Heavenly Father, and we are going slightly away, that he'll use this ever gently to bring us close, right? Through the Holy Spirit, we are always wooed to God, right? We are not yanked into the situation back, but that we are gently drawn to the Lord. The staff is also used for guidance. Acts 15, verse 28. How do we seek the Lord in guidance? Well, we pray. Hopefully we pray. One of the things that those young people learned is that they spent a week in prayer. It was a prayer class. Right? Sometimes we need to learn how to pray. And the first apostles, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." And then he goes on to say, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." And through prayer, they're able to really seek what God would have, that guidance, that direction, to make sure that our choices, our direction is aligned with what God would have for us. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And so as children of God, we need to be willing to be led very gently. So what does it look like when the shepherd guides us with the staff? Amber, you want to help me? Awesome. All right. So if you're going to walk, start changing direction. Go what? Kind of go left. Oh, no, no, hang on. Oh, keep going. Keep walking straight. Now go right a little. Oh, no, no. Here we go. Oh, good girl. A little bit. There we go. Thank you, Amber. That's what it means to be guided. Now, there was nothing violent. It's just that light little tap, 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 tap. So as we get off direction, as we get off course, the Holy Spirit is there to bring us back into alignment with God's will and purposes. Galatians 5, verse 18, and then verse 25 say this, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And again in 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So God's Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, comes to just gently remind us the direction that we're supposed to be going as we go along this path, right? This is a journey. This is not a one-stop thing where we end and just kind of plunk ourselves. We're constantly being led through the valley. Remember, this is the second half of this verse. That verse 4 says that even though I walk through the valley, well, wouldn't you like to know that the Holy Spirit's there making sure that you don't go the wrong way as you go through these valleys, that life is going to bring you through? How about John 16:13? "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So the Holy Spirit is our guide. You know, that verse came to me when I had to have a very difficult conversation with somebody, and I was in prayer, seeking that God would give me direction, give me the words to say. I was scared out of my mind for an encounter I was going to have, and that verse came to me. And I knew that God would speak truth through that situation regardless of what I was confronting and what I was coming up against. There is power knowing that God has gone before, that he's leading us in truth, that he's giving us the words of truth to share. So say Amber didn't go and she kept going the wrong way and eventually she tripped over that thing and fell. The last thing that I'm going to talk about for the staff is that it's used to rescue. And maybe that's the way that you think about it, is that it's you can pull the sheep back that have gone so far. So this happens when we don't respond to those sweet little proddings, that sweet guidance, and we go off path or seek out some tasty morsel, something that looks better on the other side, the greener pastures, or maybe exciting vistas. And before we know it, we're stuck in the brush. Or maybe we've even fallen over a cliff and ended up in the ocean. And here the staff is critical to our survival. He will come and rescue us. He'll come and pull us out of the brush. He'll come and pull us out of the situations that we've gotten our own selves into by not listening and not receiving the guidance. So it first starts as direction as he speaks into our lives and speaks truth. And then as we continue to go on our way, he tries to guide us ever so gently to go the right way. But ultimately, we all like sheep have gone astray. Sometimes we do it over and over again. Sometimes it's only one good one, but that he's always there. Amen. He's always there to rescue us and to pull us back in. Psalm 68:20 says, our God is a God who saves. Right? We sang it this morning. He's mighty to save. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. As long as we're willing to follow after him and to receive that rescue, sometimes we don't want to be rescued. Sometimes we go off into these deep ditches and we go, oh, I'm not worthy of being rescued. But our good shepherd loves the sheep. He wants to bring us back into the fold. He wants to rescue us and bring us back in. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so I love that. I love that we have these verses to give us comfort, right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm thankful that I have a God that corrects me. I'm thankful for a God who disciplines me. I'm thankful for a God who is protecting me, that gives me authority over my situations. I'm thankful for the Lord and the Holy Spirit that guides me each and every day if I would just submit to him as shepherd. And that we have a God that rescues us. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your rod and your staff. We thank you, Lord, for the word and that we can claim it and speak it into situations, God, and that authority that you've given to us as Christians, as followers of Christ, oh God, would come forth to break down strongholds, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that has come to guide, to correct, but most importantly, God, to save us, because we can't save ourselves. So we thank you, Lord, for all these things that we walk through, these valley experiences, God, but we fear no evil because you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We thank you for all of these things, God. So continue to discipline. We welcome it, God. We welcome it in our lives. Bring conviction into our hearts even now, those things that we might need to lay aside, those things that we have put between you and us, God, idols that we've set up in our lives. Bring correction into our lives, God, if we have not been following after you to the best of our ability, God. Remind us, oh God, that you are a God who is mighty to save. And that no one is too far from your grasp, that the extension of your staff, God, is never short. It's always long enough to find us, no matter where we found ourselves in our journey, no matter where we might have gotten off the path, no matter where we've fallen, but that your hand is always there. Your right hand will hold us fast. Thank you, Lord, that both these things are extension of your authority and your hand and your love. So be with us this week, O God, as we continue to walk out our lives of faith. Continue to guide us, continue to direct us, continue to save us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, right now that we would have divine appointments to meet with those that desperately need to hear about the love of Christ, and that we would have the boldness to profess our faith in you, the one who guides and the one who protects. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.